it's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today. Still a feel-good Friday, even if it's a little bit rainy outside, and hopefully it's raining threes for the Kings tonight and not the Mavericks as it was on Tuesday. Still got some March Madness going. Arizona took me out of the running. Thank you very much for nothing. Bear down and bear out. Major League Baseball opening day still rolling along as well. We have updates on what the Giants and A's both did. Surprise, surprise. No W's for the teams out here in Northern California. At least the Rivercats know how to win some baseball games. We will hear from Frankie Cardicelli a little bit later in the show, who was on location in Oakland. That's at 12:45. He was on location to talk A's and the vibes out there. Obviously, they had the boycott, and there were a lot of people outside of it. For reference, I think they clocked the amount of people at 13,500. And for reference, the Rivercats Stadium, Sutter Health, holds 14,000. Mm. So I did think that was a little bit interesting to think, even on a bad day. Now, I get it, it's opening day, but even on a bad day, if they did come to Sacramento, which we know is a very polarizing subject, it would be popping out there. It would definitely be popping out there for most nights and most day games as well. But we start with Chris Watkins. How you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, it's good to have kind of just baseball back and in the rotation on the TV. Had some the tournament pick back up last night. Gonna be actually at Fieldhouse on tomorrow. What is it? Today's Friday. Oh my gosh!
So we're gonna fly by.
Gonna be out there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hanging out and watching some tournament action. You can join me and Whitey Gleason out there. And then Sunday we got some more Kings games. So really feels like again the sports calendar is starting to pick back up. And we'll see. Kings only have what 10 games left?
Ten
games.
Yeah.
Nine after tonight. So it's getting good, but it's also starting to get tight, to get real tight around here, especially when you look at, just the standings as it is every game. But it just feels like things are getting really important. Every single game carries a little bit more weight here, and it's fun, it's exciting, but it can also be a bit nerve-wracking here as results start to not go your way.
916-339-1140. We're going to open up the phone lines here in the second segment as we start to talk about the Kings and what they can do to get this W tonight. We have some sound from our own Brendan Nunes, who was on the morning show with Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross, who asked Coach Mike Brown, how can they be better at attacking Luka? So we will play some of that for you as well. And the Kings, let's not forget that the Kings can get that tiebreaker they win tonight. And, realistically, they play some tough teams. But optimistically, this does put them back in the driver's seat with the Mavs if they take care of business.
Yeah.
Look, winning 10 games in a row is really tough. Are they probably going to do it? No. But technically, if they did, they're in.
Right.
So the idea that they don't control, if they win tonight and win 10 in a row, they're it. They're in.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is a good way of looking at it. Is at the very least, again, they will be in charge of themselves, and they will have no one else to blame but themselves. They will have no one else to congratulate but themselves. It will be all in their hands if they take care of business tonight. Like you said, it's probably not likely that they win 10 in a row. I wouldn't even put it. It's likely that they're going to hold on to that 60. But at the same time, at the very least, all you can ask is to be in control of your own destiny. And at the very least, they will have that working for them. If they win tonight, is a big if.
Is a big if. But it's hard to sit there and say, okay, if you win tonight, and I'm looking here, and we'll get into pocket watching this. They're a half game back of the Suns, but do they have the tiebreaker with the Suns as well?
I believe it's tied at the moment.
Yeah. It's tied. So you go in, you take care of business, you would have that tiebreaker over the Mavs, and we know the Suns have a tough road ahead as well. And all you can do at that point is just say, all right, we know what we got to do. And if it's not 10-0, it's just, you just got to get hot.
Yeah.
That's one of these teams has to get hot. But the difference is if you win tonight to start the Heat, you would then take care of business on the Mavericks because you'd have that tiebreaker and you have another opportunity against the Suns.
Right.
A little bit, what,
in early April.
Yeah. So then you'd have that tiebreaker as well.
Right.
So you, it's all in front of you.
Yeah.
It's all in front of you. With everything that has happened, it is all in front of you. And we will have sound from Coach Mike Brown about being a 500 team and being over 500 and his expectations. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've already heard the sound, Chris and I. He says it without saying it, that this is a process. Mm-hmm. And you can't sit there and raise tickets and say, hey, guys, we're really just trying to get to the first or second round, and it's a process here. You can't say that to fans.
Yeah.
But they're saying it without saying it. They were not going to go from missing the playoffs for 16 years to a random three seed that everybody was excited about, and then the next season win the championship.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yep.
The question now becomes, and we'll do this more as the season comes to a close, but the question now becomes, what did you get out of this season? Mm-hmm. Did it feel like you took that next step?
Yes.
And as long as you felt like, and the thing is, that isn't quantifiable. You can't say that you can say that you took a next step without getting to the second round. We've had this conversation before. So we'll break all those things down. But yeah, Mike Brown was very open about the fact that this is a process. And as fans and as media, we all have to remember that as well.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you laid it out perfectly. Like, they still are in year two right now of this whole process. And Mike Brown talked. We played sound, I think, a couple weeks ago of him talking about how, you know, Michael Malone didn't win a playoff or didn't even make the playoffs for his first couple years. Jokic didn't make the second round for the first 7 years of his career. And then, you know, you look at the situation the Kings are in now, and comparatively to that, it's like, yeah, we're ahead of schedule, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be able to skip steps along the way. There's just a process to these things. It gets uglier before it gets pretty. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but you do have to take some lumps before you ultimately get to the final goal. And I think that's what we're seeing here. It hasn't been a pretty season. The jury is not out on how this year ends, though. They can still have a really, like you said, a positive end to this season, feel like you're building positive momentum into next year, and that makes this season completely successful. They just have to end it the right way, and we're seeing they're going to be faced with a lot of tough competition along the way. I think that's good in a way. You know, you got to iron sharpens iron. You got to play some of the best teams. You get a real true barometer of where you're at. Whereas, you know, if you're playing teams like the Jazz and the Blazers the entire time, sure, you beat up on a bunch of bad teams. But what does that really tell you in terms of how you stack up? So at the very least, we're going to get a good answer as to where they are in this process the rest of this season, but also how they end the playoffs. Like, will they make it through the play-in? I would say, just off of the conversations I've had with tons of different people this entire season, not a lot of people have faith that this team, if they make the play-in, will make it out of the play-in.
Right.
So if they do that, is that positive momentum? Is that a successful season? I think the jury's still out of how we're going to feel about this season, even though right here, right now, I don't think many people feel great about how the season's gone because of the inconsistencies we've seen.
Yeah, every season is not created equal.
Exactly.
And we all have to keep that in mind. And really just taking a big picture. And trust me, we have 4 hours to break down how the Kings can get this done. We have tons of sound. We have tons of breakdowns. And we have some sound from Brandon Ayuk as well to get to you Niners fans out there with Nate behind the glass for us. But just to take a step back quickly, Chris, as far as being a Kings fan and taking into consideration everything that you've been through and everything that you haven't seen, isn't it still, and I hate to do the, and it might sound like participation trophy thing, but isn't it still nice to just have 10 games of high level basketball where maybe you get your heart broken at the very end, maybe you get your heart broken tonight, but this is what comes with being
a team right. with expectations.
Right.
You weren't getting your heart broken the last 15 years
no.
because you stunk.
This part right? of the season used to be a joke. This is where
it's time to draft talk.
Literally, if we let's act like this team has won 30 games or whatever, mm-hmm. pushing towards 30 games, right now, today, I guarantee we would be talking about Davion Mitchell probably starting, Kessler Edwards getting minutes. Mm-hmm. Could we see Colby Jones? Hey, I want to see Keegan take 25 shots tonight right, just right. to kind of get it going. Those were the kind of conversations that we would have at this point in the season. And, you know, yeah, you're not talking about winning. You're talking about maybe looking competitive. You're talking about, oh, yeah, Keegan had some really good moments on player X. That's what this part of the season used to be about. No one going to the game. You know, it would be, you know, I don't know, 60% full mm-hmm. in Sleep Train Arena, maybe a little bit more because we know Kings fans still showed up even back then. But yeah, no, you're totally right. Like, this part of the season used to be, can we just end the year? Like, this is fun watching these guys develop, but we're not doing anything. We're not playing for mm-hmm. anything. We're just, if anything, we're looking at the draft picks. We're going on Tankathon every day and seeing if we can get the number one pick. This is, it's stressful. It's a lot more stressful than those kind of games, but you're right. Like, this is what you sign up for.
Yeah.
This is what being a good team is about. It's about jockeying for position at the end of the year and really seeing what your team is made of. You watch these guys all year long build to this point right now. This is where your money is made. Let's go see what it's about. And I think it's right to kind of take that step back and look at where these guys have been and where they're at right now and just appreciate it. You know, it is nice to really feel like we're in the thick or we are right in the middle of what the biggest conversation in the NBA is about right now.
Yeah.
And that's this tight Western Conference.
As Tupac once said, all eyes on me. That's it's right. all eyes on that's Sacramento right. and the Kings as they try to get it done against the Mavs. Coming up next, a fellow host at Sactown Sports asked us a question, and we haven't been able to really do a lot of crosstalk with them, but it led to one of the best off-air crosstalks that we've had, and we will share with you who that was and what we talked about when we turn. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
He may not be there when you call him, but he's always on time. That's Kyle Draper. By the way, let's get into it on a Friday. We did something a couple weeks ago where we had texters and callers in the Sac Chat. Shout out to the Sac Chat, by the way. We had texters and callers and Sac Chatters hitting us up with things that they hear from our own Kyle Draper.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, the potential for the best segment of all time.
Yes, and it was It Never Rains in Los Angeles. That was one of them.
Yeah.
I forgot how it ends, but
it literally was raining that day too, I think is what
right,
he said.
Right, yeah. Yes, but it's raining tonight. So if you have any of Draperisms, be sure to hit them up or come up with your own, and we will
right.
pitch them to Kyle Draper,
there
and
you
maybe
go.
You'll hear your saying on the broadcast. I'm trying to think of some myself.
Yeah.
You know, he's almost in a way similar to Lil Wayne. Remember when Lil Wayne was
yes.
all about the
yes.
I'm hot, son,
yes.
but much better than that.
Right.
So come in with those, and maybe you'll hear them tonight or whenever Drapes calls another one, hit us up with some that you've heard from Drape to remind us of how funny and unique they are, or if you have your own, hit us up as well. But Kyle Draper, as he was getting ready for the show yesterday, and be sure to listen to the Drive guys, they are going to be on location as they are for every home game because we are the flagship for your Sacramento Kings. Kyle Draper, as we're just, you know, getting ready, I'm grabbing my stuff and Chris is grabbing his stuff, he just drops a bomb on us. Guys, 47 wins, successful season or not. Right, that would be yeah. one less than they got last season.
Yep.
And Chris and Drapes did not fully agree. I was really just being the mediator there, just giving my take. I never really gave my take because we're in the middle of it. They're getting ready for their show. But essentially, and I'm not going to speak for Kyle Draper, but he felt as though 47 wins would be successful. And I'm not going to speak for you, Chris, but you felt differently about it.
Yeah, it's actually really funny because during the summer, me and Drapes did a couple shows together as well. We got into the same exact discussion, and we were on completely opposite sides of it. So it's actually really funny how things have turned in that manner. But yeah, no, I mean, Drapes was pretty much like, wow, like, you know, you wouldn't say it's successful. And I, you know, yeah, I was just like, you know, I think, and like I just kind of put out, I think that there's chance for the end result to feel successful. But I think if you were to ask just as a blanket statement, 47 wins and the process of how the Kings got there, I think people would say, this season didn't quite go how I would have wanted it to go. Even if like the 47, 48 wins is good enough for people, I think the process in which they got there, I don't think a lot of people have been happy with how the Kings have played this season, from, you know, Kevin Huerter shooting lows to Keegan Murray shooting lows. Even though it's come with improved defense, I think people expected Keegan to still look like an elite shooter, and right now he just looks like he just looks like a good shooter. You know, Harrison Barnes didn't really take a step up. Trey Lyles kind of had a quiet year. We've talked about all the additions. Sasha Vezenkov, Chris Duarte, JaVale McGee. None of those guys really made a massive impact. The two or three biggest bright spots, absolutely. De'Aaron has had close to a career year. The start of his season, 30 points, 40% from three. We know he's tailed off since then, but even the fact that he reached those numbers, that's big. Sabonis's double-double streak, which is still going on, that's big. Malik took a major step up that year. This year, that's great. But I think everything else hasn't really gone how everyone would have wanted. And I just feel like the regular season in general has been, I would say, unsuccessful.
916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. If you want to be a part of the conversation, if the Kings end with 47 wins, one win less than last season, would it still be considered a successful season? Here's the thing, Chris. How I took that when Drape said it to us, how I took that was that what you just did, you can't do. Right? You can't look at the process. Somebody tells you in the summer that the Kings are going to end with 47 wins, and you don't get to ask any questions. Not two truths and a lie. You don't get to ask any questions. So you have to answer, you just have to answer yes or no based on the number. You can't, it's hard to do because you saw it. But I mean, imagine that you didn't see it and someone said, hey, the Kings are going to end with 47 wins. Do you think that's successful or not? I know it's hard to do, but I think that's the spirit of it. And it would probably be the same answer.
I would definitely give the same answer.
Something didn't go right unless you want to have the conversation about how tough the West is. Now, you wouldn't know that they lost games to the Blazers and the Hornets, things like that. But ultimately, I think it would be tough. I think you would really want to ask questions.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think all 48 win seasons are created equal.
Right. Well,
you know, like if the Bucks win 48, they're not going to be happy with it. You know, like I just think that you have to know how they got there. And like, that's incredibly important. 47 wins, well, was De'Aaron Fox gone for a stretch of time? Because 47 wins could be incredibly impressive if that's led by Sabonis and Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox missed 20 games. So, yeah, I mean, I probably still, if you ask me in the preseason, even though I guess to that point in the preseason when me and Drapes had that initial conversation, my answer was yes. But even then it was yes, because I think this season isn't going to be like you, like we talked about in the first segment. It's not about a championship. They're not winning a championship. So 47 wins or 48 wins is okay in the preseason, or to say in the preseason. But was it all in the name of Keegan Murray's development?
Exactly.
Was it in the name of Malik getting more solidified in his role? Were there things along the way that, yeah, maybe they sacrificed some wins, but it was for the greater good of, yeah, now we're a legitimate defensive team. And, you know, we might not be the dynamite offense we were last year, but we made such good improvements on the defensive end. That's going to do us so much good in the long run that it doesn't matter that we didn't end up maxing out our win potential.
Right. The correct answer to that question is it can be. Right. If someone says, hey, is 47 wins successful? It could be, or it can be. I just have to know more. Yeah. It depends on how we got there.
And even saying unsuccessful probably isn't fair. It's just not, it's not reaching what I think the baseline of expectation.
They
was.
Didn't take it. Does it feel when this ends, depending on how it ends, if they lose in the play-in, we know the answer.
Yeah.
If they win in the play-in, then lose in the first round, depending on how they lose, then the question is, does it feel like they took a step this season? Yeah. Or some did, some didn't.
Right.
But I think, weirdly enough, if the season ended today, there would be more in the camp of, yes, they took a step, than no.
Yeah.
You'd have De'Aaron Fox in his three-point range.
Yep.
You found money, new money with Keon Ellis. You'd have Keegan Murray defensively, and yes, he took a step back as far as the three-pointers, but he's still learning offensively as well. Those are the three things off the top of my head.
I would say so. Yeah.
And that's just what it is. So depending on how this thing, it still remains to be seen.
Yes, because the final result really does matter.
It does matter.
It matters a lot in terms of how we're going to view the entirety of the season.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We can sit there and say that the West is really tough, but the reason they're in this situation is not because the West is really tough.
Yeah.
They're in this situation because they tricked off games that they shouldn't have tricked
off. Exactly.
From the 9-1-6, they better get 45 wins. If they don't, I guess they got some cheese on this. Looks like my daughter won't be going to college. 9-1, we got what was it? What is it? 1-800-GAMBLER.
Was that the over-under? That's actually really interesting. I'm going to look that up during the break. What was the Kings over-under at the start of the year?
Probably right there. When we return, we will hear from Brendan Nunes and Coach Mike Brown, who answered a question from Brendan about attacking Luka, and we will get into some of the game plan that you might see. Also, the Celtics, they're tripping. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
How to stop Luka. How to stop Luka. Sometimes stopping Luka is also by making him work, but it's easier said than done. And Brendan Nunes, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, asked Coach Mike Brown about how they can be better at attacking Luka, and we'll have that sound for you in just a second. Off the top of my head, Chris, and we've went back and forth with this, we talked to Kevin Gray Jr., who does pre and post for the Mavs for their flagship.
That's right.
We have spent a lot of time on this, and I got to say, during off nights, I was thinking about this, and thanks for everybody who joined last night on off nights with Alan Stiles. I was thinking about this, Chris, and ultimately, man, I know the blitzing. I know how you feel about it. I know how LeBron feels about it. I get it. I really do. But when you don't have the requisite pieces to handle somebody like Luka, I don't know if you have a choice. So how I would go about it today is you pray, number one. And number two, Keegan Murray, let's see what you got, right? And if Keegan's getting cooked, you make adjust, and we talked about the halftime adjustments or lack thereof. If Keegan is getting cooked, you just throw as many bodies at Luka as possible. But if Luka's in without Kyrie, I'm blitzing. I just don't know if you have a choice. You can't blitz with Kyrie. I know that.
Yeah.
But if Luka is in without Kyrie and it looks like it's going to be one of those days again where you just can't stop him, because he might be off. He might be off from three. Who knows? But if he's not, and Keegan is getting cooked, and that's the best that we have to offer. If Kyrie is not in, it's not that I disagree with you or LeBron. It's that I just don't know if you have a choice.
Well, no. I mean, even in the sound we played yesterday, I mean, they mentioned Luka because he is the most blitzed player in the NBA off of pick and roll. So, like, teams, for the most part, agree with you. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is... It doesn't make sense, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, because like you're kind of saying, I mean, you, you kind of are left without an option. Because I think I actually finished listening to their podcast last night, JJ and LeBron.
You love that pod.
I really do. And you really don't like it.
No,
you
no.
You really don't like it.
I just like being sarcastic about
it. No, you really don't like it. You really don't like JJ Redick. You don't like the fact that he likes to go in and inform people.
It's all a bit.
Sure. And they even talk about, like, you know, the one game where I think they said the Atlanta Hawks are the highest rated blitz team in the NBA. They blitz more than anybody else in the entire NBA. And when they played Dallas, they didn't blitz Luka. And you know what happened? Luka scored 73 points. And so it's like, it is truly a pick your poison of, look, we can blitz this guy and get the ball out of his hands. But what might happen is, yeah, Kyrie might hit some shots. Tim Hardaway, exactly what LeBron laid out the other day. Tim Hardaway hits six threes. Dante Exum will hit a couple threes. That's, to your point, that's got to be what you're praying for. That's got to be what you live with. Because that's really what it's about sometimes with the high level of basketball that Luka's able to play. And there's, you know, there's Giannis, there's Jokic, there's other guys in the NBA who can make you pay like this. But specifically with Luka, it's a pick your poison of, you either hope that Dante Exum and Tim Hardaway Jr. beat you, or you can let Luka go ISO the entire game, and he's probably going to make you pay unless he's cold.
But now you're sending me in the other direction, because we know the Atlanta Hawks defensively, and I know the Kings just now started playing good defense, but Luka's not putting up seven, and I know that it was a crazy game, but Luka, even though he had 26 at halftime with a bad Achilles.
That's right.
Luka is not putting up 70 on the Kings.
Why not? Why not?
So he was on pace for
52. You know, I mean, I'm more just trying to help. I'm arguing for you right now.
And now I'm just stuck. Now I'm just, Marin Morris, meet me in the middle. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to George, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, George? What you got for us?
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I really do not feel good about tonight's game. Last year was a little bit different. We're surprised other teams. This year, they figured things out. All they needed to do is to really pressure Sabonis, and the team is frazzled. They do not know what else to do. The problem is that we always had, this whole entire year, we always had three starters that are completely unreliable. The brass knew it from last year. They ignored it. And then they ignored it at the trade deadline. Everybody else, all the other good teams, they made themselves better. We stayed the same, and that is why I do not really feel good. We are going to stay with the eighth seed, and there is a good possibility we're not going to even make the playoff. I hate to say that, but I have to face the truth.
Thanks for the call, George. Yeah, it's tough, and at 11:30, we have some numbers for how the Mavs have done since the trade deadline and how the Kings have done since the trade deadline. And I'll ruin some of the tease. The Mavs have done much better than the Kings since the trade deadline, and they did make a move.
They got rid of their entire future, though.
The Mavs.
Yes, the Mavs did. Like, that's where I'm like, you know, especially for the deadline stuff, it's like the prices were pretty insane.
The prices were insane.
3 second-round picks for Royce O'Neal. That's insane.
Yeah, but I'm not.
And Dallas traded like 2027 first round. They don't have a pick after 2026. Like, they got rid of everything for Daniel Gafford and
PJ Washington.
And you know where they're sitting? A game ahead of the Kings. Tonight it could be tied.
But Chris, this is what they would tell you. Not to say it's going to happen or not, but this is the idea of, this is the Lakers model, to where they're going to end the season playing good basketball and feel like going into next season, they can start this way and not be in that situation. Will that be the case? I don't know.
Right.
But that's how the Mavs would sell it to you. 11:30.
Yeah, we'll
11:30. See. Your thoughts on the Kings not making a move at the trade deadline. And yeah, it's a real thing. I get it. I get it on the side that you're talking about, because the prices were ridiculous. Blame Rudy Gobert and the Timberwolves.
Yep,
and now the problem with that is that the Timberwolves are good. If they stunk again,
right,
then everybody would say, okay,
can't do that.
The problem is that it essentially worked.
Yeah.
And we'll see how much it worked. I guess right now we should pray that they get bounced in the first round.
I guess, right?
Because that would bring the prices down again. Hey, look at all this. Look at what they gave up, and they can't get past the first round. The best players on the team are guys that they already had.
Right.
And Rudy Gobert, who can turn into a liability in the playoffs. It would look really good for Rudy Gobert to look bad in the playoffs.
Yes.
And maybe that will bring this market back down to reality. I feel like we're in the Big Short and we're just waiting for the bubble to burst. But some teams didn't wait. Some teams didn't wait. And if the Mavs, if they get hot and they grab a 5 seed and they make some noise, Monty McNair is going to hear it. And that might drive the prices back up again because somebody was willing to pay. And we know the Suns and what they gave up, like you said, to get Royce O'Neal. The Suns, that could help as well. Ultimately, I think this thing will even out a bit, but as far as the Kings not doing anything, and I think that's some of the argument. I know the Kessler Edwards move last year was barely a move. No disrespect to Kessler Edwards, but sometimes it's just about doing something. And the fact that they did nothing, I think fans have feelings about that.
Definitely,
and I think Mike Brown got feelings about it.
Oh,
to be completely honest with you,
definitely.
He hasn't really hit it too well. If he was even trying to hide it, when we return, we hear from Coach Mike Brown. And also, somebody got fined a lot of money, but honestly, I think it's a pretty good deal. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The Kings take on the Mavs tonight in not a winner-take-all for the tiebreaker, but the Kings can get the tiebreaker, and the Mavs would have a chance at getting the tiebreaker and would currently have it based on that breakdown, having a better division record. So the Kings don't want to go down double trouble to the Mavs, lose another game, and also lose a tiebreaker. This game is huge. And in order to get the game, you have to stop Luka. Here is Coach Mike Brown, and he gets asked a question by our own Brendan Nunes about how they can be better at attacking Luka on the offensive end.
What do you think is the balance for you guys in making Dallas's stars work defensively, but also maintaining your offensive line?
I think you can ask any of our guys. We can do it while still flying offensively. The way our actions are, if you have a good understanding of it or a good feel of it, you can get anybody involved every single time down the floor, and it can be like this if you're in tune to what's going on. And we have to do a better job of that, you know. But our guys, again, it's part of the learning / growing experience that we're going through right now, and our guys are getting a little better every time they step out on the floor.
I don't know what that means. I have no clue what that means.
I mean, he's saying that, you know, he's essentially saying it's on the players. Yet again, he is saying built in within our offense is opportunities for, if you see a mismatch, you can attack it, you can exploit it. But you have to recognize it. And to me, that's what I heard is him essentially saying it's already in the offense. It's not a matter of I need to call plays to attack those mismatches. It's those mismatches are there. The offense is already there to attack it. Those guys just have to see it and then attack it themselves. Because if I start calling out for it, who knows? Maybe the defense catches on. Maybe they shift around. He's essentially, again, as we talked about, I think a long time yesterday, this is Mike Brown saying, look, I've already done my side of things. I implemented the offense. I told them where things are supposed to go, where counters are, all this stuff. It's on them to essentially do the homework themselves and then be ready for when the test comes because, you know, as we know, teachers aren't going to be able to hold your hand throughout a test. And you know, it's going to mean a lot more for the growth and development if you figure it out yourself than somebody spoon-feeding you and holding your hand along the way. And that's what I heard. I essentially heard, look, it's out there. It's on the guys to go to go see it as well.
I don't know what's happening in the timeouts or the huddles, but do we not think that there's any sort of, and maybe there is, but do we not think there's any sort of guys, I mean, I'm getting real basic. I mean, guys, hey, maybe look to get Luka in some more action here on that one piece of the offense where Keegan is coming up, yada, 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 whatever.
Sure.
Are we, maybe he's just not saying it to the media and doesn't want it out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to at least think that they're not sitting in the timeout in silence.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, you know, yeah, he could say it in the huddles, I guess. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things discussed in there as well. A lot more, you know, just, you know, procedural stuff. I'm sure he could, but I mean, yeah, he might not be, but I, you know, is that going to be, does that turn it on to Mike Brown's fault? Again, does he have to tell them every single thing that they need to be doing out there?
I mean, it's still a representation of him.
Sure. I'm not saying he doesn't have to go tell them, but I mean, yeah, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. I mean, it's built into the offense. So I think Mike Brown is saying I shouldn't have to regardless.
No, he shouldn't have to, but if he then, and we have this sound too, if he then is talking about we're early in the process and this is a process, maybe it's a little bit of a disconnect with how he thinks things should be going and where they're at in the process. Maybe he might feel like I don't have to tell them, but maybe he does have to tell them right now. Mm-hmm. And you could sit there and say, I mean, if things go awry and they end up losing, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how good it looks to go to your bosses and say, well, I told them what to do. They didn't do it.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe at that point, is it Monty McNair? Because it's, hey, I think that if we have different players, this would have been more successful. I just know that if you sit there and say, if you are a manager, okay, if you're a manager and you and your boss says, hey, how come Allen didn't do X, Y, and Z? And you say, well, I told him what to do and I told him how to do it, but it didn't get done.
Yep.
That boss would say, well, did you remind him? Or what did you do to make sure it got done?
Sure.
I'm just...
But every boss has different relationships with their employees.
Yeah.
So he might say, well, I trust Allen as an employee. I told him once. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I had to tell him a second time.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, after this conversation, I guarantee that film session went a whole lot different. I'm sure in the film he pointed out, here's a chance for us to attack Luka. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen tonight, sure, we can have the conversation.
Agreed.
But I think Mike Brown has shown time and time again, even with the closeouts, like he's going to let these guys fail and try and figure it out himself and then go back to the drawing board and say, man, I guess I really do have to take it back all the way to the basics, the fundamentals with this thing, because I thought that everybody had this general baseline knowledge that, hey, if this is a situation, this is what you do. But clearly that's not the case. And sometimes, yeah, you do have to take some lumps. And that was a really unfortunate lump to take if that's the case. But yeah, sometimes you do have to say, this is the first time they've played Dallas in a while, was off a back-to-back, so maybe they couldn't fully implement game plans. Maybe now it's a, guys, like, there's no reason for us to not attack Luka. Mm-hmm. Here's XYZ example of when we could have done it and how we could have attacked it. You know, I'm just not willing to go off and say this is, again, like a huge Mike Brown thing. When I know this has been instructed of the team, he might be at fault for not reminding the team enough, but he's already shown time and time again, this is what he does. He coaches, he tells them what to do, and then puts it on the players to have the general basketball IQ to figure it out themselves. Because again, come playoff time, come Mike Brown talking about championships, in the final 5 minutes of a championship, Mike Brown's not going to be any help. It's all on the players at that point.
No. I hear you. Really, it just is a matter of how you feel as far as where they're at in the season. Because I'm just at the point where it's all hands on deck. I think that, in theory, yes, I shouldn't have to tell them and I shouldn't have to do this and I shouldn't have to do that. But to me, all that stuff goes out the window when you're staring the plan in the face. I don't really care what you've been trying to do all season long. It's been somewhat successful, but you're also staring at the plan in the face.
Sure.
So maybe, just maybe, you should try, not try different things. I know you're so far in the season, but as far as the, it's on the, I would just be more hands-on in every way, and we'll see tonight, but I would just say at this point in time, you got to do whatever it takes to get in, and it's not the time to sit there and say, oh, well, I told them how to do this or I told them how to do that. We'll see tonight. Right. We'll see tonight.
Yeah, I would also just say, like, maybe there's a chance that he was thinking, like, you know, the offense already isn't looking great. Mm-hmm. If I tell them, hey, specifically go try and attack this, this flow offense, which is already struggling to flow, really has no flow because now they're only trying to attack that. And again, the best way of this offense working is for it to be in a rhythm, in a flow, and not necessarily fixating on one specific thing. And, you know, again, that you could argue that that's the offense at fault. You could argue it's Mike Brown at fault. You could pick and choose whoever you want to blame. But I think at the end of the day, the problem is that it wasn't done.
It just, yes, yeah. Yes. And we will see if they get it done tonight. When we return, someone got fined $50K, but was it worth it? Also, the Celtics are literally practicing during games, and Pocket Watch coming up as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.